A privilege and joy for me to be back in Townhead and to see all the families. I love children and I love to see them going out to the creche. Thank you for coming. You know, this is a Flora's Klondike Day. You know that. The commercial people love all these Valentine's Days, Mother's Days, special anniversaries because they rip you off with flowers. Mother's Day. So I want some audience participation before I start to preach. Because I was thinking, what memory do you have that you would like just to share about paying a tribute to your mother? When you look back over your life and think of your mother in some kind of way, it would be nice for us just to hear from a whole range of different people, just a thought, an idea that you can recall. For example, whenever I think about my mother, there's a whole range of different thoughts come back, but my mother was brilliant at making pancakes and tatty scones. And she did that every Saturday. And so we as children always just waited for them coming off the griddle because they were fresh and they were just so tasty with a wee bit of syrup. But my memory of my mother would be such. My father was a miner, and he worked for all his years on the night shift in the pit. And my mother's personal spiritual quiet time usually was at night when my father went out in the pit bus. And as a little boy, I used to wonder, who is in the house? Because my father's away at the pit, and my mother's talking to somebody. So I'd go down the stair from my bedroom, and I would see my mother on her knees at the big chair, praying. And that memory has never left me. And I'm so thankful today for a mother that prayed for me. So what's your memory? And if you don't shout out quickly, I'll just call your name. So you better be ready just to give us a memory of your mother. Let's pay a tribute to our mothers. Yes, friend? Wonderful. Wonderful. Never once blamed God. That's a good memory, isn't it? Now, who else? Who's next? That's good. Stuartie, now be nice to your mother because she's listening to you. Say that again, I missed it. She was so beautiful. Well, that's a wonderful tribute. And that would put a mother under the seat with cringe, but nevertheless, that would be just... That's special. Thanks, Judy. Who's next? Yes, Douglas? I'll come back to you. Think about it. Thank you. Anybody else? Don't all speak at once. Come on, let's hear those that have got a memory of their mother.
My mom is known as the best baker, cooking, best at cooking, and sort of loves all children like that.
And that's your memory. Good cooking, good baking. A mother looks after her family. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Went home to be with the Lord at 56.
My mum hates cooking.
Well, that's a memory, isn't it? That's a memory. Now, Eddie, were you just going to say something there to see your lips shape up? A wonderful memory. Special. Anybody else just before we get on the preaching? Yes?
It's not about my mom, it's about Joseph's mom. And from a Jewish family, another Jewish family. And her last words to me, which we were very close, but her last words to me were, "Oh, beauty, how I pray to be like Jesus."
I pray to be like Jesus. That was her last words to you. Wonderful. Wonderful. One more. All quiet. Let me turn to the Word of God. On Mother's Day, I'm going to just, from the Bible, identify a mother in different settings. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 49, the first reading in the Bible. And Isaiah 49, verse 13 says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their sorrow. Yet Jerusalem says, 'The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us.' Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for a child she has born? But even if that were possible, God says, 'I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on my hand. Ever before me is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins.'" And so we have here the love of a mother. And if you turn over with me to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, there's a little verse in there, Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. "Soon afterward, Jesus went into with his disciples to the village of Nain with a great crowd following him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The boy who had died was the only son of a widow, and many mourners from the village were with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. 'Don't cry,' he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. 'Young man,' he said, 'get up.' Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk to those around him, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." If the first scripture tells us about the love of a mother, then I want to say something from this passage on the tears of a mother. And our final passage is in John's Gospel and chapter 19. Very well-known words. John 19 and 25 is the scene at the cross. And we read these verses, these words. "So that is what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, 'Woman, he is your son.' And he said to his disciple, 'She is your mother.' And from then on, this disciple took her into his home." And may God help us this morning to say something about a mother, a mother's love, a mother's tears, and in this final passage, I'm suggesting the forgiveness of a mother as Mary stood at the cross. I happened to be preaching last Tuesday night up in Cumbernauld, and I had a girl from the GLOW student body with me, a girl that I just had met a week ago. She's from Poland. And last Sunday morning, because all the services that I was to be preaching were cancelled with the snow, I happened to be listening to this girl tell a little of her life story. It was fascinating. And I would have loved to have brought her this morning, but it wasn't possible. I'll talk a little more about her later. But her relationship to her mother was very, very fascinating indeed. And a mother's forgiveness, and the forgiveness to her mother. I'll talk a little more about Magda later. When we come to a day like today, we think about mothers. I have a PA that I've had with me in GLOW for 27 years, and she and her sister never married. And so last year, they lost their mother. Their mother died. And so days like today are painful and kind of memories that stir in people's hearts. And so I was thinking about Jan too this morning, the love of a mother. God wants to tell us in the passage that we read in Isaiah that the love of a mother is very strong, but his love is even greater than a love that a mother has for a child. And we understand from different parts of the Bible just how strong a mother's love can be. In fact, one of the fascinating stories that came out of the life of Solomon was that there was two mothers, had each a child, and they were obviously together sleeping in the same room, and one of the children, one of the babies, must have been smothered by the mother in bed. And when they woke in the morning, they discovered there was a child that was dead. And the mother that had the child died, switched the other living child. And then they argued whose child is alive and whose child is dead. And there was a great argument. How could it be settled? So they went to Solomon. And they said, you know, one said, this living child is my child. And the other said, no, it's my child. So Solomon says, how am I going to separate and sort out this problem with these two mothers? So he said, I'll tell you what to do. Bring a sword and cut the child in two. And you can have a half each. And of course, the true mother to the child shouted, no, never, never do such a thing. Give this other woman the child. Says Solomon, this is the mother then. The mother that had the heart to give her child away to keep it alive proved the love of a mother. And so when we think of love, the love of a mother, we want this morning, I want to think about the love of God, the Father. God says his love is greater than a mother's love. And in this lovely passage in Isaiah, he said it's very unlikely that a mother would abandon her born, the child that she's born. That would be very unusual. But if that were the case, he said, even if that were the case, God says, I will never forget you. He's speaking in the context of this passage to the nation of Israel. As a nation, God loved the Jewish nation. And he said, I will never give you up. And that has been proved down through history. Despite all their rejection and rebellion against God, the Jewish people are still God's people and he loves them. But we take an application from this passage this morning. We take a lesson from it to understand that God says, I love you. I love you. And you know, I have been a great follower of Billy Graham all through his life and his preaching. And so great tributes have been paid to him over these days as his passing and funeral took place. And as they showed clip after clip of his preaching down through the world, with his Bible in his hand, he declared, God loves you. God loves you. And that message of the gospel got through to millions of people. Despite our sin, despite our rebellion, despite our reaction against God, God loves you. And so God says in this passage, I will never forget you. I have written your name on the palm of my hand. Says God, this is an illustration to remind us of how personal God's love is for each one of us. I don't know your name. God knows your name. God knows every detail about your life. And regardless of how we've lived or how we've reacted to God in the past, the message this morning is God's love is stronger than even a mother's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so when we come to the cross, we see the nail prints of Christ in his hands. That's the evidence to me that he loves us. He was willing to have his hands and feet pierced on the cross to demonstrate his love for each one of us. And so this morning, on this Mother's Day, we do thank God, I'm sure most, if not all of us, thank God for a mother that loved us and prayed for us. But beyond that, we thank God for God's love for us and for his care. When we come to the second little passage in Luke chapter 7, we come to a true-to-life everyday situation. We have a widow on the way to the cemetery to bury her son. And it just so happens, you know, there's no coincidence with God, but it just so happened that Jesus met that funeral procession. Had he been an hour later or earlier, he would have missed it. But their paths crossed just at that moment. And he stops the procession. And he does something that no Jew would ever do, touch a coffin. Jesus went forward and he put his hand on the coffin, because in Jewish culture and in Jewish religious terms, you never touch a dead body. But Jesus was prepared to touch this coffin to demonstrate that no death can exist in his presence. And he has the power over death. And so, as he touches the coffin, the Lord Jesus sees the state, the emotional state of the mother. Brokenhearted. Not only through being a widow, but now, if you like, a single parent. And she is burying her son. And so her heart is broken, and the tears are flowing from her eyes and from her heart. Jesus says, "Don't cry. Don't cry." The death of a young person is often a heartbreaking story where tears flow readily, especially from a mother who would have to come through the pain of grief. When death invades a family, you know, I was at a funeral recently and it was just heartbreaking. I looked after a group of boys that played football for the church up in Motherwell, and I got to know all these boys very well. And none of them much ever went to church, but I related to them and linked to them and got friendly with them. In fact, some of them have asked me to conduct their weddings. And one of the boys, Paul, had a lovely wife, and they had a second little child. And the child was about 8 weeks old when they discovered a brain tumor. And within a very short space of time, that little child was taken to heaven. And I went to the funeral, and, you know, it was just so heartbreaking to watch parents carry in a little coffin to the crematorium and to see the death of a child. And so many tears are shed. There's not a person sitting here in this congregation this morning that hasn't shed tears for one reason or another. In the Bible, there's a story of a little family of two sisters and a brother. They must have been quite young because they weren't married at that stage. And in culture terms, they would have normally have married, but they were young. And again, there's no mention of parents in the story, which is a very interesting dimension. And these two sisters find themselves with a brother that's ill, and then he dies. And in their distress, they sent for Jesus, and they sent a message hoping that he would come before he died and he might do a miracle and save them from this health issue. But Jesus delayed and took time to come. So by the time he arrived at their home in Bethany, their brother not only had died but was buried. And so they're heartbroken. And so much so that the Lord identifies with them in their grief and in their emotion, and it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Tears. He could see, no doubt, the tears of the two sisters. In life, for most of us, there are many different factors and circumstances that break our heart, that cause us to weep. Sometimes it's a family situation. Sometimes it's a health situation. Sometimes there's just the circumstances of life. I have a lovely friend in Northern Ireland. I got word a week ago. Two of them are doctors, very fine doctors. One young man ready just to be a consultant in his medical career. And they have a little boy of 18 months old. And his parents are my closest friends. He said, Philip Johnson says, Jen has just been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And he said, you know, we've shed a few tears. And so, in the circumstances of all our different lives, tears are part of our life. Tears. The Bible says that Jesus can wipe away your tears. He said to the woman, don't cry, don't cry. Not only does he say, don't cry, but I'll actually wipe away your tears. And he raised to life the boy that was in the coffin. What a wonderful Savior is the Lord Jesus. Not sometimes people say to you, you know, I know you're upset and I don't want you to be, but you feel helpless because you can do nothing to help them. But when the Lord says, don't cry, he can actually do something to help. And he can take away the pain. Because the problem with tears, if you examine the whole issue of tears, tears come as a result of sin. And when we trace back into the human race to the very beginning, tears and grief and pain all resulted from Adam's sin. And death eventually also comes from sin. And the Lord has to solve the tears through solving the sin problem. And the way he solved the sin problem was that he went to the cross and he took our place on the cross and died for our sin. He took the punishment that our sin deserved so that God can forgive us of our sin. There's coming a day in the book of the Revelation 21:4, it says, when he will wipe away all our tears. And there's going to be a wonderful day of joy and celebration and rejoicing. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears for those who will be with him in heaven. May God help us to understand what it means to have our sins forgiven. When we come to the third little section of scripture that we read, John 19, we stand at the cross and we witness the Lord Jesus being crucified, tortured. And sometimes we are unaware or we don't appreciate just the extent of the pain that Jesus suffered. And I have a friend that's a missionary in Chad. He sent me an email the other day of a man that came into his company that had been in prison in Sudan for 11 years. And Cephas was sharing with us something of this man's story of being tortured. And the human heart stoops to no level of pain to inflict on others. And so when we come to Calvary and we think about the Lord being whipped and tortured and put on that cross, I'm going to ask you this morning, what do you think were the feelings that went through the heart of his mother? What did she think? How did she feel towards the soldiers who humiliated Jesus, stripped him of his clothes, spat in his face, pulled the hair from his beard, and treated him in such a way? How did she react? How did she feel about the Jewish authorities that had cried for his death by crucifixion? How did she feel when she thought about the injustice of the Roman court of Pilate, who found Jesus innocent and yet condemned him to be crucified? It was such a miscarriage of justice. And all these conditions are such that Mary is standing there. When Jesus was just a boy, his parents took him to the temple. And there was a very old godly man called Simeon who made a prediction. This child, he said, will be rejected by many in Israel, and he will be, of course, the greatest joy to many others. And then he addressed his words to Jesus' mother. He said, a sword will pierce your very soul. There's going to be a day coming when you will feel the pain of a sword going through your soul. And he was predicting the moment she would stand at the cross and witness the Lord being crucified. How did she feel? I am suggesting this morning that Mary, as a mother, had forgiveness in her heart for those that treated Christ in the way that they treated him. She's a beautiful model for us how to forgive those that sin against us. This girl that I've just referred to at the beginning, let me close by telling you a little of her story. Magda is her name, from Poland. She was brought up, she said, in a little family where her mother was an alcoholic. And as the years of her early life went through, she experienced a deep sense of anger and bitterness and resentment against her mother. And she went into herself and shut herself in her own room and cut herself off from community as such. Until she was about 15 years of age. She's only 20 years of age now. And she said, someone invited her to a young people's Christian camp. She didn't want to go, but she went. And she said, at that camp, I heard the gospel explained about God, through Christ, was willing to forgive me. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. And God forgave my sin. But she said, you know, for 4 years after that, I couldn't forgive my mother. I still lived with a sense of real anger and bitterness. So she said, as a Christian, a new Christian, I made no progress because I still had in my heart an unforgiving spirit. She said, until just about 9 months ago, before she came on the GLOW course, the Lord really spoke to her. Friends helped her and enabled her. And she said, I came to a moment when I was able to say, Mother, I forgive for all the way you've treated me and for how you've acted. I forgive you. And she said, it was a great relief and a great burden off my back. And GLOW. But she says, even over recent weeks, God has been speaking to me from another dimension altogether. She said, while God forgave me and I forgave my mother, she said, I knew that deep in my heart, I needed to ask my mother for her forgiveness. For during these years, she said, I didn't treat her well. Even though I felt I was the victim. And so I treated her very badly and reacted very badly to her. So she said, 2 weeks ago, I phoned my mother in Poland. She said, Mom, I want to ask for your forgiveness. And she said, my mother burst into tears. And it was a very special, precious moment to have a phone call from Scotland to Poland and to seek and to ask my mother for her forgiveness. And she said, my mom gladly gave me her forgiveness. A mother's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a great subject. And it's something that touches all our lives. I've discovered, even after all these years of being a Christian, forgiveness is a daily affair in our lives. We need to learn to forgive. Even in the Lord's Prayer that we know so well, Lord, forgive me my trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a two-way thing. Do you know what I'm going to suggest this morning? There will be many Christians who will arrive in heaven with an unforgiving spirit. Something has happened in their family. Something has happened in church. Something has happened in relationships, and they have lived for years with an unforgiving spirit. May God save us from living and dying without forgiving someone. Let me ask this morning, as I just bring this little message to a close, let me ask you, have you ever come by faith to the cross and realized I've sinned against God and I need to ask for God's forgiveness? Sometimes when we realize that we've done wrong, many's a time in my life I've had to say to my wife, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I've said something, I've done something, and we do that as human beings. We need to be able to say to each other, please forgive me. But above, beyond the human relationships, I'm asking this morning, friend, has there ever been a moment when you've come by faith to the cross and asked God for his forgiveness? There was a young man brought up in New York with a very wealthy father. His father was an industrialist, loads of money. So he gave too much money to his son, and his life and lifestyle was such that it became chaotic, and he spoiled his life and separated himself from his father and lived a wild, riotous life. Till one day he was found in a New York apartment, lying on a mattress, dying with alcoholic poisoning. Two policemen found him. And in his weakness, he kept saying the same thing over and over again. I want my father's forgiveness. They said, who are you? Who is your father? And out of kindness, the policeman took the details and then went and phoned and discovered, yes, the facts that the young man had given him were true. He has a father. And they told the father the story. And so he came as fast as he possibly could to this apartment, up into this little room where his boy was lying in a mattress. And he said, I'm here, son. And the boy says, Dad, I want your forgiveness. I want your forgiveness. The father said, you could have had it years ago if you'd only asked. My friend, don't wait until it's too late before you ask God for forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be here on Mother's Day. And we take a moment to give thanks for every memory that every one of us have of our mother. And we thank God for those that were godly mothers that prayed for us, that helped us and brought us up in life. And we pray for mothers this morning because in this little church there are many children. And we ask that the mothers who are here would give such an example and model to the children that they would lead them to Christ for salvation. We thank you for the love, not only of a mother, but the love of God. We thank you for God's love and care and for his compassion. He knows where we're at, each one of us, in our very heart right now. And it may be he needs to say to someone, don't cry. And the Lord can help us in our need. We pray that we might each of us understand the message of the cross and seek God's forgiveness for our sin. So bless this message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm very privileged to get an invite for 3 Sundays and to New Mills. Not every place has me for 3 Sundays. They say once we've had you for 1 Sunday, that's enough. But New Mills are very kind. So I'm going to come back over these, God willing, these next 2 Sundays. I'm going to do a little study with you from a book in the Bible called Ezra. So your homework for this afternoon after lunch is to read the first 2 chapters, at least, of the book of Ezra. You'll find it in the Old Testament, in the middle of the Old Testament. And I want to try and inspire you as a church to think about revival. And we're going to be looking at the history of revival, not only in Israel in the time of Ezra, but we're going to look at revivals in our own history going back the years. Because I have been inspired in my Christian life by reflecting on what God can do through revival. And so over this afternoon and then the next 2 Sundays, we'll concentrate on the book of Ezra. And if you read it up, then I'm sure it will be a help to you. As you know, I have an interest in the work in India, CMCT, a number of the friends here sponsor children, which is wonderful. And I raise funds for India. And one of the ways that I raise funds for India is that I sell tickets for the Easter Conference, Easter concert that we, Andrew Polson, runs. This year it's in the City Halls on Easter Sunday. If you don't have your ticket, then I can supply you with a ticket cheaper than Andrew's selling. I don't tell him the price I sell it, but it's a lot cheaper than his. So if you'd like to help India and enjoy a night at the concert in the City Halls on Easter Sunday, then I have the tickets to sell to raise funds for India. Thank you for being with us this morning. I won't join you for soup and fish suppers, I understand, being replaced. First service, there was an announcement about sandwiches, but Chris said there's no sandwiches. It's now being replaced with fish suppers. Soup and fish suppers. But I have to preach. I have to preach in Airdrie at 6 o'clock, so I haven't any time for soup. But do come sharp for 4, and I'll finish at 5 to 5 and get up to Airdrie. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Proper welcome. Great. Great.